In Amos chapter 8, I'd like to read verse 11. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of the hearing the words of the Lord." And as we look at this, this was, of course, was given to Israel many years ago, but I believe we're in a time right now where there's a famine of hearing the Word of God. Notice even in this verse here, God didn't say that there would be a famine of the preaching of the Word of God, but the hearing of the Word of God. There's never been a time or opportunity, if you want to put it in those terms, that we have today to hear the Word of God preached. And I'm not talking about all these TV preachers. I'm talking about men of like faith and order. Every church here now, you can listen to the messages that are preached by Facebook or YouTube and various means. And I got, when we started doing it, I got a smartphone, and it's still smarter than me. But I've got relatives now all across this nation. Some of them I don't know if I've ever met. They're listening to the preaching that I do on Sundays. And one of them, when I was reading their profile or whatever you call that, they're Latter-day Saints. But they listen to the messages I preach every week. Who knows what God may do with the truth? We want to consider here tonight the fact that there's a famine of the hearing of God's Word. Now, from what I see and what I've experienced, and as I said, I'll be 73 next year. I mean, next week. I will be next year, but part of it anyway. But next month I'll turn 73, and growing up in the 50s and the 60s and even into the 70s, virtually every time the Word of God was preached, it moved somebody's heart. How often do we see hearts move today with the preaching of God's Word? And again, as we know here, God didn't say there would be a famine of the preaching of His Word. To Israel, God sent a famine of hearing. God sent it. And I'm not going to say today that's the case, but it very well could be. God has sent a famine of the hearing of God's Word. And it's important for every one of us to hear God's Word. Not just when it's preached, but when we pick up the Word of God every day and we read the Word of God. How many times, let's be honest, how many times have we read a chapter or two chapters or even just a few verses and set our Bibles down and you stop and think you don't even know what you've read? That's a famine. We're not hearing what God has said. This world, of course, is not hearing what God says. But we're talking about God's people. Us here tonight, if we admit it, we all at times have a famine of hearing the Word of God. There was a time in Israel's history that there was a famine of the Word of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." People didn't have an open vision. They weren't. The word of God wasn't being preached. It wasn't being. They weren't hearing it at that time because it wasn't being proclaimed. But as we see here in Amos, again, he doesn't say that there's a famine of the preaching of the word, but the hearing of God's word. Right. And when we look at Israel's history at this time, the time of Amos, there were prophets of God, and we read about many of them. I mean, there was Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah that were preaching the word of God, but did anyone hear them? Very few.
Right.
Very few. Now, we know when they were sent into captivity, that is Judah, there were men who believed, and I'm sure there were women also, but there were men who believed God. We have Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. They believed God. And Daniel and the three Hebrew boys both, before the king, didn't waver from God's word. And what happened? Those three boys were thrown into that fiery furnace.
Right.
And Nebuchadnezzar looked down into that fiery furnace when they should have been ashes. They were walking about. The only thing that was gone was that which bound them. And he said, "There's a fourth one in there. It looks like the Son of God.
Amen.
What did they say before that? "Go ahead. Throw us in there. We've got a God that'll take care of us." Daniel. And it was brought about in Daniel because of those who didn't like him, because of his worshiping the God of Israel. He didn't bow down to the image of the king. He went three times a day as he always had and bowed down towards Jerusalem and prayed unto the Lord God of Israel. And he was cast in the lion's den for that. But what did God do? He protected him from the lions. Israel had thought at this time that there were no more prophets to preach God's word. In Psalm 74, Psalm 74 and verse 9 says, "We see not our signs, there is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long."
Right.
They had come to the point, you know, Israel, you know, there's no prophets. God's not speaking to us. But the problem wasn't with God. The problem was with them.
Right.
And I believe when God spoke this through Amos, again, the problem wasn't God. The problem was the people. And what had the people heard? They had heard the false prophets. And they believed the false prophets. And they were listening to the false prophets instead of God's man. And this is a problem we have today. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I hope there's none here. But I have known people who are members of New Testament Baptist churches that watch some of those so-called evangelists on TV. I've known some that have even sent them offerings. Who are they listening to?
Amen.
They're listening to the false prophets. They're not listening to God's man. The prophecy to Israel is prevalent in today's world. So let's look in 2 Timothy for a few moments. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So we read verses 3 and 4 here. Paul says, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. For the time will come." And as we read through the promises that God has given us, He says the time will come. In other words, not maybe or possibly, it will come. When they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, their own desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to bring onto themselves. They're going to invite even into their pulpits not just their median of hearing and seeing, but they're going to invite into their own pulpits those who will scratch their ears. They will entertain them. Through the years, I won't mention his name because some of you would all know him. But there was a man that back in the 70s that we always heard built up as being one of the greatest preachers of our day. And the first time, I've heard him three times, and that was four times too many. Stand in the pulpit. This man cracked jokes for 20 minutes. Read a verse of Scripture. Give about a 10-minute devotion. And cracked jokes for another 20 minutes. And I heard people say, "Oh, what a wonderful message." I thought, what a waste of time. Entertainment. This is what people are looking for today. Entertainment. They don't want to hear God's Word. They don't want to hear what God says to do and not to do. But they want to have those who will scratch their ears. They want a form of religion. You know, I heard said when I was a kid, and that's been a few years ago, that people wanted to be in the church to keep their foot in the world. Now, people want to be in the world and keep their foot in the church. That's part of this famine of hearing the Word of God. People don't want to hear anything that goes against their ideas of what they believe is right and wrong. One of the things that I've noticed in the years that I've been in the ministry and members of New Testament Baptist Church is the lack of separation in today's world. People don't want to hear about separation. There was one time I heard people talking about going to movies, theaters. And I preached on it. The next Sunday, I heard the same people talking about what a great movie they've seen at the theater this week. You know, there's a famine of hearing the Word of God. Look at dress today. It's almost embarrassing. It is embarrassing.
That's right.
When you go out in today's world, when you have to keep your eyes covered. And you know what it is? It's not just the people in the world. It's those who claim to be the children of God. They haven't heard a thing. And they don't want to hear. Verse number 4 here, he says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." They're going to turn their ears away from the truth. And these fables, is that of what the philosophy of this world is? I've heard some say, and they, not church people, but the world, that it's wrong to tell anybody what they should or should not wear. I think it's wrong not to tell them. I mean, it's been a couple years ago, but I went into the Walmart up here in Russellville, and there was a young woman who was probably about 8 months pregnant. It was in the summertime. She had a halter top and short shorts on, and that belly just poking out. And I thought, man, how ungodly is that? And I'll tell you a little story about that. When I was growing up, there was some farmers, McAllisters. He had farmed. He was in his mid-70s, but he'd had to retire because of arthritis. He'd raised milk cows, and they sold eggs and so forth, but he did everything by hand. He had a team of horses. And after he retired, they hired me to keep their lawn cut. And they had about 4 acres of lawn. Now, we're talking back in the 50s, late 50s. So when I tell you what I got paid, don't think, oh. They paid me $5, my dinner, and 2 Pepsi breaks. And the lady that lived across the road from them was pregnant. And she put on maternity clothes when we go to town. Miss McAllister, she says, "Why forevermore?" That's the way she talked. She says, "When I was with child, I never stuck my nose outside the door until after the child was born." What would she say today?
Right.
And you say, well, times have changed. This is true. But God's Word hasn't changed. And there's a famine of hearing what God says. And people today are seeking to hear God's Word as they want to hear it. You know, through the years, I've had people come to me and want counseling. Very few that you counsel really want to hear what you've got to say. You know what they want to hear when they come for your counseling? They want you to tell them what they want to hear. They don't want to hear what God has to say. They want to hear you tell them what they think is right. That also is a famine of hearing the Word of God. In Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 26. says, mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet. But the law shall perish from the priest, and counsel from the ancients. Now, part of what God is saying there, and we're going to apply it to today here in a moment, part of what he's saying there, and as you study through these books, adultery had become a problem with the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Here, Ezekiel's talking to the priest in the southern kingdom. It had come a point they were still going through the motions. They were still taking care of the sacrifices for the people. I mean, the people were bringing in the sacrifices and they were making the sacrifices. But they had secret chambers in the temple in which they went in and they worshiped their idols. And I believe part of the famine of the Word of God today are men, some of them are masquerading as men of God, who are practicing their ungodly worldliness and then coming into the pulpits and supposedly preaching the Word of God. It was told me one time when I was a young preacher that says, don't expect a church that you pastor to rise above what you are. What I preach, I better practice. What I preach, I need to hear. What I hear, I need to put into practice. And today, people are seeking to hear God's Word as they want to interpret it. As they want to interpret it. And there are men who are standing in the pulpits that want to preach it as they want to interpret it. And if they interpret it to fit their own thinking, there's going to be a famine of hearing the Word of God. In Lamentations, in chapter 2, in verse 9, Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 9 says, her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. The king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. Right. Now, Lamentations is talking about Judah when they were being marched from Judah to Babylon. And if you read through the book of Lamentations, there's a lot of sorrow, and this is part. And when we think about the Word of God and a famine of hearing, there's great sorrow in that. Doesn't it sorrow your heart when you even think back 15, 20 years ago, how that things were amongst our churches of like faith and order? And then if you go back even further, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, I know I'm getting out of some of your age ranges, but when you're 73, you can think back that far. But what it was like. You know, some have said they've been a long time since they've seen a revival. I've seen some. Been in some. but it's been a long time. Why? Because there's a famine of the hearing of God's word. Perverse interpretations of God's word is becoming acceptable. In 1 Timothy in chapter 6 and verse 5 says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such turn away. Perverse disputings. You know what's sad is when you see men or pictures of men and women today. I'm talking about some preachers that I've seen pictures of that 20 years ago practiced separation to the T. And you'll see the men now in their shorts and their wives in their slacks. It's sad. Why has that happened? Well, you could probably go through a list of things. But the main thing is, there's a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. Again, God's Word hasn't changed. God's Word's the same. And as the Lord Jesus speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, He is the Word of God. He doesn't change. His Word was settled in heaven before the foundation of the world. Before He spoke anything into existence, His Word was settled. And as we look at time, when Peter tells us that the prophecy came of old to men as they were, and we're paraphrasing a little bit, as they were led by the Spirit of God, what did the Spirit of God do? He revealed unto these men what God had settled in heaven before the foundation of the world. And again, as we look at ourselves today, this pandemic, as they call it, that has plagued us for most of this year, was not a surprise to God. He knew about it before the foundation of the world. And He knows the end. We don't, but He does. And that's, again, according to His Word. He knows the beginning and the end. And as the man who made the quote that I said earlier, that he wasn't looking for the signs of the times anymore. He was listening for the sound of the trumpet. What about the trumpet? God has that timed out too. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. For what purpose? To redeem us. And there's coming a time, and I do believe it's in the near future, that we will hear the trumpet. Amen. And we shall be gone. How many times have you quoted God's Word about any given subject and had someone say, I don't see it that way? Doesn't make any difference how I see it or you see it. God's Word is settled. And it doesn't make any difference if you want to believe it or not. It's still God's Word. You need to hear it. And you need to apply it. And you need to conform to it. Not to what fits your fancy. Amen. Or what fits the world's ideas. You know, if we stick with the Word of God, we're never going to be popular in this world.
You're right. Amen.
It's kind of like being President Trump right now. There ain't anything he can do that the world's going to like. There isn't anything we can do if we stay true to God's Word that the world's going to like. You know, when all this stuff first came down and all these executive orders started flying out, we kept on having services. Somebody turned... We got turned in. Our judge executive come by, and I brought him into our building, and I said, we spread out. We aren't shaking hands. We aren't hugging one another. And he says, well, I'll go back and tell the health department that you've got everything taken care of. Well, then when the Then we got a notice taped to our door telling us we couldn't meet. So I think about 2 weeks we didn't meet. And I got my little book out that's got the Constitution in it. And I said, we're going to meet. Well, about 2 weeks later, Wednesday night, Brother Jackie, song leader, he sits in the back, heard somebody at the door. City policeman. He says, are you having church? Brother Jackie says, yes, we are. I think there were 8 of us there that night. He says, you can't. That Friday is when the Supreme Court of Kentucky told the governor he couldn't stop us.
Amen.
But this is the world we live in. They not only don't hear the Word of God, but they don't even read the Constitution of the United States. But we need to keep preaching God's Word in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And looking again at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul says here, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. What's he saying here? Regardless of how it may be received, regardless of how it may be ignored, preach the word. You know, when we think about verse of Scripture in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, which says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, most of the time that's just taken as salvation. But it can be applied here also.
Amen.
You know, there's a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. But what ends any famine? If it's a famine of food, what's going to end the famine? Food. If there's a lack of water, what's going to end that famine? Water. If there's a famine of the hearing of the Word of God, what are you to do? preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. So what's he telling us here? In season and out of season. He's telling us whether it's acceptable or not acceptable. Whether it's appreciated or not appreciated. Whether it's agreeable or not agreeable. It makes no difference. It's God's word and we are to preach it and we are to hear it and we are to apply it to our own souls. You know, that's another problem with a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. How many times have you heard a message preached and you've heard somebody say, well, that's exactly what he needed or exactly what she needed? No, it's exactly what you needed. Maybe they did need it, but you need it also. I honestly believe every message that every man of God preaches, that the Holy Spirit has guided them, everybody in attendance needs it, including the one who delivers it. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Notice also he says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. In other words, all these are going to have an effect when the Word of God is preached. It's going to reprove. It's going to rebuke. It's going to exhort. And the one who is the preaching it needs to do it with all long suffering. That's patience. Patience. Something that as human beings, many times we have problems with. Not just in preaching the Word of God, but in life itself. We lack patience many times. Then there yet at other times, as I used to hear my mother talk about somebody that they had the patience of Job. Well, you can go the other way too. You can be too long suffering, and by that I mean you sit back and you just say, well, you know, I believe God's going to take care of it. We still need to preach the Word of God. Doesn't mean we slack off. Doesn't mean we don't continue to stand for what is truth and what is right. Continue. You know, Paul talks to the Corinthians and he tells them in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, that sometimes our life, how we live before this world is the only Bible somebody's going to see.
Right. Amen.
And, you know, when I worked at Chevrolet several years ago, I run the battery room, and if you don't know what the battery room was, Chevrolet had those big electric fork trucks, and the batteries were almost probably bigger than those pianos, almost. And I took care of those batteries. And I started an hour and a half before the regular shift and had to make sure everything was all ready. And then for about an hour and a half after the shift started, I was constantly changing batteries. And I didn't even know this particular man even worked in the plant. But one morning, and I had to use the restroom bad, and I thought I had my last truck, I took my hard hat off and my gloves and laid them down and started to head out to the bathroom, which was maybe from here to the back of the building there from where I worked, and here comes a truck. And I like that and turned around and put my hard hat on. This guy come running and he says, did you swear? Did you swear? He knew I was a preacher. So he was watching. And if you don't have to be a preacher, but if they know you're a child of God, they're going to keep their eyes peeled on you. And that's where we need to hear. We need not to have a famine from the hearing of the word, God's word. We need to hear it, we need to apply it, and we need to live it. As we see then in James in chapter 1. James in chapter 1. Verses 22 and 23 here. Says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man holding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So you start with, he says, we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers. When we're hearers but not doers, there's a famine of hearing there. You haven't listened. How many times when you were raising your children, or those who are raising children now, have you instructed them and they don't do what you've instructed? And what's many times a question? Didn't you hear what I said? Well, sometimes they did. They just didn't want to do it. And other times, they didn't hear because their mind was somewhere else. And this, again, is a part of the famine of the reading or the hearing of the Word of God. When several of our men, when they pray before services, if they to open up services, they will pray, God, remove all the thoughts of this world. That ought to be our own prayer before we enter into the house of God. Remove this world from my mind. But yet, same time, when we meet, what's the conversation many times before services? Do we talk about God? Or we talk about everything that's going on in the world? Now, one of the conversations over at Northside many times to get started is food. We all like to eat, as you can tell. But what we ought to be talking about? What do we come for? Right. We've come to worship God. And we need to put this world outside when we come in here. The world's going to take care of itself. But again, he says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. In other words, what's Paul talking about there? In a mirror. And I've always kind of liked this. And as he goes on in verses 24 and 25 there, I've always kind of liked this. You know, when I get up in the mornings and I go in and look in the mirror, my hair's not combed, my face is not shaved. And, of course, what I do first thing in the morning, I go out and walk, take the dog out. But when I come back, you know, I haven't shaved or showered or combed my hair while I was out walking with the dog, got a hat on. But What he's saying here is those who fail to see what they look like in that mirror. And he goes on, he says, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." In other words, you forget all about what you look like. Have you ever been around? Sure you have. Have you ever been around anybody that's really stuck on themselves? By that I mean, you know, I've seen the people, they got every hair has to be in place. And when they dress, you know, everything has to be perfect. And they want everybody to notice them. They're stuck on themselves. They forgot when they got out of bed that hair wasn't, everything wasn't in place. In those nights, and one fellow I knew, everything was starched. And, man, I hate starched clothes. Had to wear them in the Army, didn't we? Hated them things. But everything, you know, but they want them to look at me. What did you look like before? This is what he's saying. The Word of God, what he's reflecting here is the Word of God exposes what we are by nature. And corrects us and tells us how that we ought to walk around in this world, how we're to present ourselves in this world. And as Paul said, you know, we may be the only Bible that this world sees. Can people look at you and tell that you're a child of God? I thank God there's been times in my life, and I'm sure it's not all the time, but there's been times in my life I have people come up to me and say, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" Yes. I could tell by your actions, by the way you conduct yourself. Now, one time, I guess it was probably about in the mid-70s. We went out to eat dinner, and where we went, we was waiting in line. And this lady, about four people ahead of us, she had her hair up in a big old beehive, and no makeup. And she looked at me, and she come around, and she said, she put her hand on, she says, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "Where do you preach?" And I said, "I'm a member of New Hope Baptist Church." Boom, she turned around. And she was a Pentecostal. She didn't want anything to do with Baptist. But God had told her before that I was a preacher. I guess he shut her off in a hurry. But as we see here again, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Verse 25 there kind of puts the frosting on the cake. "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." That's this book right here. The perfect law of liberty. "And continueth therein."
Right.
Not just look into it, but continue in it. "He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work." A doer. Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. Because what God says, do it. "This man shall be blessed in his deed." That's a promise.
Amen.
That's a promise. Do you not desire to be blessed of God? Don't have a famine of the hearing of God's word. Hear it, apply it, and do it. So, thank you.